Welcome back to the Food Trainers Podcast. I'm Lauren, and I'm here, well, sort of here with Kayleen.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, Lauren is up in Vermont. I'm still here in New York. What's going on up there?
Well, it's pretty with the leaves changing, but last night I feel like I got no sleep because we had this like new coyote issue.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if somebody else like sort of got rid of them, but have you heard like the sound a coyote makes? It's not like really like that cartoon.
I don't know. Not in real life.
It almost sounded like there were like 100 babies crying outside. It's really eerie.
Gosh.
So we turned on our outside light. They don't like bright light, I learned from Googling. Mm-hmm. And then I saw a few of them scampering, and it was freaky because, you know, we have small dogs. I guess big dogs can actually take on a coyote. So if anyone has any tips for this that's listening, please DM us or email us.
That's scary. Yeah. What have you been doing?
Well, we've been yelling or making noise, turning on the light, as I said. We've been leashing our dogs, which stinks because after being in the city, we always love coming up here and letting them run.
Yeah.
I've also heard that coyotes hate vinegar and cayenne pepper.
So. Oh, okay. I'll ship you some extra apple cider vinegar that you can put that out. Yes. We can do a coyote secret weapon bundle.
I don't know if there's a need for that. I'll be researching it soon as I usually do. So we're not talking about wildlife today. Sorry. I had to mention that because I'm so out of it. But we're going to do a little hormonal talk, and we're specifically talking about testosterone, or women and testosterone, I should say.
I think many women or many people think of testosterone in terms of men, usually.
Totally.
And even if they don't, you know, you hear talk about cortisol and stress hormones or insulin, our favorite hormone to discuss, and thyroid hormones, but not testosterone as much.
I completely agree. And I was thinking about that. I don't know, maybe because it, like you said, is associated with men, maybe because it's a sex hormone. But we hear a little more about estrogen, which is a sex hormone, in terms of hormone replacement therapy and phytoestrogens with soy, but not testosterone. So it's interesting. Testosterone has similar functions in men and in women. It affects mood, metabolism, muscle. There are some differences in terms of how things affect our testosterone, as we'll get into a little bit more. It does also happen to be World Menopause Month, I learned. I'm so bad about those days and months. And we could say that that's what prompted us, but it isn't necessarily. But it just happens to align. Exactly. A coincidence. We're celebrating World Menopause Month. But testosterone is actually not a perimenopausal or menopausal issue. There's implications. It's an issue for young women too. I was with a 20-something client last week with PCOS, and that's when testosterone, or we will refer to testosterone as T. When T levels are high, there can be hair loss, acne, period issues, increased body hair with T high. And then on the converse, we're going to talk about T being low is with any hormone. Imbalance is imbalance. So there's issues when it's high, issues when it's low. Low T is very common in perimenopause there, and it's associated with like sort of a lack of confidence, low libido, low energy, like feeling really off your game, which is the case when many hormones are off. But once we highlight these, and for me, after all this time, once you're familiar with it, it's easy to sort of spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So today we're going to talk about testosterone and its effects and how to test for it and how to naturally raise it or lower it, depending on what you might need. And I didn't realize that levels vary by age, but that makes sense.
Yes.
You
yes.
test for something called free testosterone and SHBG.
Yeah, which stands for sex hormone binding globulin, which always sounds like, from the second I heard about it, like goblin to me.
Very Halloween-y.
Exactly.
For this episode. And then on another note, you can test testosterone any time of the month, but it's best to test in the morning when levels are at their highest.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to decline also as early as the late 20s. Yikes for everyone.
Exactly.
So should we start with high T? As I feel like between PCOS and perimenopause, it's very common. but maybe I hear about that more. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And so again, one point that Kayleen brought up, because she's getting blood work done today and we were talking about it, you won't usually see, unless you're at like an integrative or a functional OBGYN or a doctor who does like a hormone panel, on routine blood work, you're not going to necessarily see free testosterone and SHBG. So it's something that if this is resonating with you or you're really curious about, that you have to ask for and sometimes also pay for. And the thing about high testosterone, and you see this with PCOS, is that insulin, which we talk about a lot, is often involved. Hormones are all interrelated. You'll see that as we talk about this, but it's really hard. One of the reasons why testosterone goes off is often because of, you know, increases or decreases in estrogen or cortisol too. So about 50 to 60% of those with PCOS also have insulin resistance.
Mm-hmm. And it can get a little confusing though. It's important to note that not all women with PCOS have high testosterone. And it's also possible to have high testosterone without PCOS, which happens frequently when people are coming off of the pill.
Very good point, that they're not always linked. It can get confusing and it can also go both ways. So high insulin, which can happen with a diet that's just high in refined carbs and sugar without a pre-existing hormone imbalance. High insulin in women, it signals the ovaries and the adrenals to make more T. A side point, when men have a lot of sugar, their T often declines. So there are gender differences, and that's why it's important in studies to see who they're done on if you dig into this a little bit.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so if we talk about secret weapons or steps to lower testosterone, we can talk about that first, because like you kind of mentioned, if you have a high processed carbs like breads, crackers, bagels, cereals, or a high sugar diet, the first step might be to work on blood sugar for you.
Absolutely. So if you know your testosterone is high, take carbs down to one meal a day, choose better carbs. Often you might with PCOS need to go lower, but again, start where you are.
And then in terms of a sugar guideline, many food trainers clients with a weight loss goal are at one cup of low glycemic fruit a day, and snacks such as bars should have single digits for carbs. That's like an easy metric.
Totally. So if you're looking at a label and the sugars are, let's say for a nutrition bar, 14, you can find one that's a little lower. Just off the top of my head, Kind bars have a whole host of flavors that are 5 grams, pretty low. And also just like a sugar rule while we're talking about it, you definitely want either one snack a day or certainly one sweet snack a day. So you don't want to do a nutrition bar and dark chocolate and a healthy cookie in a same day, even if they're all single digits, it's going to add up.
Yeah, yeah. And then once you've addressed carbs and sugar in your diet, you can add in like Ceylon cinnamon, apple cider vinegar, berberine, and also NAC, which is the berberine is BFF and NAC is the everything pill. Those can be useful too. We do cinnamon in smoothies and our Boss Coffee recipe. I think if you can work your way to like half a teaspoon a day of cinnamon,
which usually like takes more than one. That's what's used in the studies. Kayleen's absolutely right. But that's a hefty dose in like one cup of coffee or something.
Right?
But oh my God, you're just reminding me. I was sent these cinnamon gummies that had no sugar. The ingredients looks good. I was so intrigued, but they were so gross. I know we talked about gummies in the pantry episode. So I do cinnamon in smoothies. I put it in plain yogurt, good culture cottage cheese, coffee, as Kayleen mentioned, with some collagen and MCT oil too.
Were the gummies like spicy? You know how like cinnamon candy is like spicy?
Yeah, no. And I love, like, what are they? Like, I love a hot tamale.
Yeah, those.
No, they were bland and sort of like almost like nondescript, but in a, like a weird way, like chewing on like a gummy without flavor more so.
Yeah, I know we say people take too many gummy vitamins, like with icky and like sweeteners or ingredients.
Yeah, like high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah. But we do have a high quality gummy coming to the shop, not the cinnamon one.
No.
So stay tuned for that. But in terms of blood sugar, like apple cider vinegar, you can add to salads or have a spoonful in water before a meal. That's particularly meals with carbs too, that can help with your blood sugar levels. And berberine is sort of like the herbal form of metformin, like the
herbal and safer.
Yeah. That you could take for diabetes or insulin resistance. And do you want to spill the beans on our new secret weapon? Lauren has wanted to stock this one for a while.
Okay. So we're casually calling this chin hair tea.
Do you want me to put it like that on the website?
Honestly, like if you're in your 40s, I think everybody can relate. Most people might be turned off, but we could discuss that. But it's actually also a delicious tea. And the thing is with some of these things, like we'll talk about, is that this is research behind it that we'll get into to help in terms of women and testosterone, but it's not going to, unless you're sort of having something, let's say, you know, by the gallon, if your hormones are not in balance, it's not going to throw them off. So anyway, I joke about this, but I have like sort of, I have a funny and embarrassing story if you want.
I think I know where you're going to say, but yeah, you can share your story.
Yeah, I mean, sharing is good, right? So I think the title of this episode is going to be Women Testosterone. So there might be fewer men listening, maybe, but anyway, who cares? I don't care. So I'd say the last, judge me if you want, the last 1 to 2 years, you know, sort of mid-40s or so lovely, I have these like random chin hairs that appear. Some are blonde and some are not so blonde. I know there's hosts of people listening to this that are like, because my friends and I talk about this. So we were on our way to my son's soccer game and I said to Mark, I can't go to the game. And he was like, what? I said, you know, like when you have like an eyebrow hair that needs keeping, I'm like, I have a chin hair. I'm not sure. I feel it, but they just sort of like, I don't know, they come and like sort of alert you. And he looked and he leaned in and he said, I don't see anything, as you know, as he never does.
Oh my gosh, poor Mark.
No, not poor Mark. I was going from the game out to dinner with friends. I was like, you know, like the fields are really isolated. I'm like, where on Randall's Island in New York?
I'm assuming you didn't skip the game though. I mean, like people are not coming that close to you on the sidelines.
Probably not, especially with COVID. But it's not even so much like people knowing it's there. I could have masked up. It's like I knew it was there. So
yeah.
I actually texted a friend who was going to be at the, you know, the mom's dinner that I was going to. And this is how you know you have like a good girlfriend. I said, like, are you stopping home before dinner? And if so, can you bring a tweezer to dinner? I'm sorry, there's a buzzer that goes off anytime anybody goes in and out of this house. I have a chin hair.
Oh my God, what did she say? She's been dying.
Well, this is not funny, Kayleen. Okay, it sort of is. But she said, and she's a little older than me. Sorry, Jewel. But she said, oh my God, I check twice a day for them at work. This is so funny. She brought me this cute mini tweezer, this cute pink mini tweezer. And so I head right to the bathroom at this restaurant. But it was one of those, I don't know if you've seen it, like one of those like communal bathroom areas with like an open sink. It wasn't like, there was no door. So I actually went in the stall and did it by touch. So all good.
Okay. So tell everyone about chin hair tea then.
Okay. And I can't take credit for this because there is some PCOS site or Instagram handle that coined it. And it, you know, made me crack up years ago before I actually had this situation. anyway, drum roll, our fave or my fave, and maybe your fave soon if you have chin hair, is spearmint tea. Spearmint, actually,
yes.
Is a secret weapon.
Yeah, which it is a delicious tea.
It is.
Really
good. Are
you
scared of it now that I'm mentioning it this way?
No, I'll still try. Because there's research actually published in, Phytotherapy Research Journal. It suggests that drinking 2 cups of spearmint tea a day for 5 days could reduce the level of androgens in women with, I hope, hirsutism. Is that how you say it, right? I always read it, but...
it's hirsute, so maybe it's hirsutism.
Hirsutism,
it refers to like, you know, excess hair.
Exactly, yeah. And then a second 30-day study of 41 women with PCOS produced similar results too. So it is proven out there to be like not just a really good tea, but beneficial.
Yeah. And I was just reading. Yeah. I'm happy also that obviously if we're talking about ovaries and PCOS, but that those studies were done in women versus mm-hmm. on men, as we were saying. So spearmint essential oil and spearmint in general, not so much with other mints. You have to kind of be careful. A lot of the teas we were looking into were peppermint, but spearmint does reduce if you have excess testosterone. So I'm sure like men are tossing their spearmint gum as we speak.
Yeah, so we now have this delicious spearmint tea in the shop. So it's one from our favorite brands too. We've had their rooibos tea in. We've had their other like mint green tea in, which rooibos is great for skin. And then their green tea. I know you love your green out there.
Yeah, I love their green tea actually. It's just like a very good, the company is Big Tea NYC. And it's pretty funny. It's tea like tea for testosterone, I was thinking.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But do you want to maybe explain, because that green tea also has implications.
Yeah, just one more point about green tea by increasing that goblin.
SHBG.
Yeah, the sex hormone binding globulin can bind excess testosterone. So green tea, your matcha can help with that.
It's so interesting that it like sort of like binds something that helps produce the other. Anyway.
Yeah.
Zinc is also an interesting one. It has implications for both high and low T for both men and women. It comes up a lot in the fertility research too, and men and sperm and all of that. But we're talking about women today. We love one of the best non-seafood sources of zinc. We have these spicy pumpkin seeds and the gummy Kayleen mentioned. I was just looking at that too. An immunity gummy because zinc has some zinc in it too. And the other thing is just these issues, hormonal issues, can take, we mentioned this a little bit with when we were talking about dairy and acne. It can take a couple months mm-hmm. at least with both diet and supplements. There's one other secret weapon, reishi mushrooms. They inhibit, could get sciencey, 5-alpha reductase. That's the enzyme that converts testosterone to like its more potent form. Mm-hmm. It's the net is that it's androgen. Testosterone is an androgen. It's sort of one of those associated or called male hormones. And reishi also is good for your immune system and good for mood, anxiety, and depression. Four Sigmatic makes great mushroom mm-hmm. products. If you're curious about, we tend to talk about our lion's mane because we love that. But mm-hmm. They have a reishi chai, which is really good too. Reishi is relaxing, kind of late in the day, that kind of thing.
And good for this sorry. Too. Yeah. Okay, then what about low T?
So, as we said earlier, you with any hormone, sometimes it feels like, oh, I'd love to have more testosterone if that means more energy, but you don't want anything too high or too low. Mm-hmm. Well, you can think of, or I do think of high T and maybe, excess hair or that kind of thing. Low T has important side effects too. It can affect memory. You can lose muscle mass, which can then affect metabolism. Mm-hmm. So from a weight standpoint, as we said, with high T and insulin resistance or low T and metabolism, like neither is ideal when you're mm-hmm. thinking about weight. I also had a client, a perimenopausal client recently who described with low T, described it as like feeling like she was losing her edge at work. There's a confidence piece that you see when testosterone is low. You can all other symptoms can be dry hair, thinning hair, dry skin. There's also something called vaginal atrophy.
Oh God.
Don't worry, Kayleen. We won't discuss that one. That's not for today. That's a different episode.
Oh, good. but I didn't know, I'm sure others might not know either, like some common causes or things that can, they don't always, but can lead to low testosterone are long-term use of the pill or patches.
Right.
And then
as you said, issues when you go off it.
Yeah, once you go off too. And then even chemo and its potential effects on women's ovaries.
Yeah.
And then there's also, like we've mentioned, perimenopause and menopause and even certain medications.
Yeah. And I love that you say like you didn't know it because obviously Kayleen's a grad student and has been at Food Trainers for ages too. But if you didn't know it, chances are a lot of people taking these meds too. So I actually only connected, the pill I was aware of and chemo, testosterone in women is produced in their ovaries. I was aware of that. But I had a client whose testosterone was unexpectedly low, couldn't really sort it out. Do you want to maybe say, because this applied to this client, which meds can affect testosterone?
Yeah, I read that it was certain SSRIs. I don't have the exact list, but Zoloft was mentioned. Yeah, and then also this was interesting, asthma inhalers was another med.
Which makes sense, again, makes sense to me because they're steroids.
Like everything, yeah, really is related. So like people may not realize it, but primarily the active ingredient in asthma inhalers is corticosteroids, which are similar to cortisol. Cortisol causes significant drops in testosterone production.
Yeah.
But you would never know that.
I think people might not even connect, like you just, I was thinking when you said that, corticosteroids to cortisol.
Right.
I think of cortisol and like the busy lives we lead and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I should say, as we're going through this, like there are lots of people who take these meds or need to take these meds and don't necessarily have these side effects. However, mm-hmm. I might, if I was someone who regularly used an inhaler or was on an SSRI, I might ask my doctor just to run these tests. Again, it can't hurt. But I think that if you're eating, someone who has like a poor diet, eating a ton of refined carbs and sugar, like spearmint tea isn't going to work, or on its own, it's not going to be the sole solution. And, you know, and again, like just everyone with an inhaler doesn't have low testosterone, save your emails.
Right. And then what about secret weapons or like dietary changes to raise testosterone? I know you recommend an adaptogen for that.
Right. Adaptogens are herbs. We talk about rhodiola a lot that help our stress response. So the one I would specifically go to that has research behind it to raise low testosterone, it's actually one of the reasons why I don't like it for women like me, is ashwagandha. So ashwagandha has a slight androgenic effect. It can really make a difference if you're low T and, you know, sort of suffering with that like self-doubt and low libido and low energy. And now that I'm thinking about it, now that you just mentioned the inhalers, one mechanism of these, you know, sort of stress reducing herbs is its effect on lowering cortisol. Another one, fenugreek, which, people who've had babies are probably familiar with. It's in a lot of the like mother's milk lactation teas.
Okay.
But it can also raise testosterone and very safe, obviously, if it's used with lactation. The other thing is, as that popped into my mind, is BPAs, which are in a lot of plastics and cans, are endocrine disruptors also.
Yeah, high exposure to estrogen-like compounds may also affect hormone levels. So that's things like BPA or PFAs.
Yeah, and you see what Kayleen just said? She said these are estrogen-like compounds. You know, they mimic estrogens. Throw off that estrogen level, your testosterone can be thrown off. So again, just more proof. PFAs, I think people might be less familiar with those than BPAs. They're in a lot of nonstick pans. That was the issue with Teflon.
Yeah.
Now they're using different things in nonstick pans, but you want to research. I like green pan. A lot of the time they replace things with things that still have these PFAs, which is kind of sneaky. Cosmetics can have them. Water, which is terrifying. I just sent it for our show notes, but Environmental Working Group has this zip code. You put in your zip code and it'll tell you about the PFA content in your local drinking water. If you're not sort of using a good filter, that kind of thing.
Yeah, which like Lauren just said, they're endocrine disruptors. So that means they can change the way your hormones function, including testosterone.
Exactly. They can affect a lot of hormones. We think of estrogen. Whey protein is another one. There's a grass-fed brand we like a lot called Terra's Whey. Again, it can raise testosterone. It doesn't mean that it's going to, but it's a very good sort of ingredient if you need that. Weight-based workouts, so lifting weights, can also help boost testosterone. Again, if you think about the loss of muscle mass that's affected and then combating that. So another good avenue to approach.
And I was surprised how much sugar affects testosterone. Like one stat was that our levels drop 20 to 30% within 2 hours of eating sugar.
Yeah, we should look. I think that study is probably done on men. I mean, mm-hmm. I like it too, because it's like, I mean, it's pretty staggering.
Yeah.
But the men and testosterone levels, that connection is, and as we mentioned earlier, it can affect women in a different way. So eating a lot of sugar isn't good mm-hmm. for anyone. But we're talking about making these changes and seeing differences in, you know, a couple of months. Kind of crazy that, like, right on the spot, it has the ability to affect our hormones that way. Interesting. And that's also, like, if you hear some of these things, you know, just addressing the whole quality of your diet. So sugar, carbs, pesticides for these contaminants, alcohol, and then layering in these secret weapons. Mm-hmm. It's really making like a bunch of these changes to your exercise and your diet and your stress management and your sleep yeah. that it really takes to have hormones in balance.
Mm-hmm. And once again, these are all topics like we talk to all clients about. So, you know, if you've been listening, you may even have a head start on this stuff.
Exactly. So things like you don't necessarily have to be looking at your sugar intake from a hormonal perspective.
Yeah.
You should look at it for like 50,000 reasons, that kind
yeah.
of thing. And what's good for you is often good, I think, as Kayleen just said, in lots of different ways. So sleeping is good. Stress management is good.
Mm-hmm.
Exercising is good. So I think sometimes when people have like an issue that's glaring or making them feel especially poor, they're just more motivated to look at all of these things, which can be good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now on to our Q&A for the week.
Timing-wise. We were a little long last week. Sorry.
But then this one, we actually, many questions submitted focused on testosterone replacement therapy and asking for our thoughts on doing this. So Lauren will answer that.
Yeah, many versions of this. And also a lot of the questions touched on things we covered. Some people just said, I just started taking this. So yeah, some doctors would start by supplementing DHEA. It's another thing that you can see on lab tests when you get a hormone panel. That's a precursor to testosterone. Other doctors jump and replace it much like you would estrogen, like either with, you know, sort of a cream or orally, that kind of thing. Definitely like work with a doctor, you know, versus supplementing DHEA on your own. As you've heard, like too low or too high testosterone produced symptoms. But first, our advice for almost everything, look at your diet, look at your supplements. You know, not if you feel like you're like, you know, in your 40s or like, you know, sprouting chin hair or anything like that, or young, as we said, try the spearmint tea. Do what you can do for a couple of months first before jumping into hormone replacement therapy. But again, I can't make a blanket statement. If somebody's levels tested by a doctor are staggeringly mm-hmm. low, they might jump ahead, that kind of thing. So I would just say, with most things, I would first listen to some of our advice here and try that out. And then if you are, obviously, if you're getting, you know, sort of testosterone replacement therapy, you are working with a doctor, but mm-hmm. just much like thyroid hormones, et cetera, monitor it, stay on top of it, that kind of thing. And, you know, food first, as we always say.
Yep.
I think that testosterone is I heard this fact on a podcast, the most abundant hormone in a woman's body. So why are we not talking about it? The effects are, you know, not just the things we talked about, but testosterone affects bone health and heart health. So it's an important hormone that we should, you know, frankly, I think we should be getting it tested without having to ask for it, but mm-hmm. that's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
So think about it. Think about what resonates in those symptoms with what we just said. If nothing does, awesome. Couldn't hurt to get your levels done, you know, especially just to see where you tend to run. But if you, you know, sort of know somebody who's suffering with hormone issues, share this podcast with them. I'm going to go sip my spearmint tea.
Yes.
Two cups a day, you just told me. Okay. And hopefully not have a coyote eat my dog.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I think they're nocturnal, so it's morning now.
You won't see them now.
I know. I'm like, I keep looking at the field like, are you out there? It's so spooky.
All right. Have a good week, everyone. And
enjoy your day off.
Oh, thank you. Columbus Day.
Yes. Take care. Bye-bye, everyone.